Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Thursday in the loop. Biggie feeling good. Lopez feeling good. Mm-hmm. Let's turn it to the line and see how our guest is feeling on this Thursday. He is a Super Bowl winning scout. And sometimes he'll break out that Green Bay Packers ring and let you see it. It's heavy, I'll tell you that. His name is Brian Broaddus. Broaddus, what's happening, man?
Hey, Reggie, John, how we doing today, guys?
Doing pretty well, man. We're doing pretty well. 3 weeks out from the NFL draft in order to add some players and super excited about it. So I wanted to pick your brain in some way. I think it's a question I've asked you, but I kind of want to circle back on it, especially now that you've gotten deeper into your evaluation of this particular draft class. Like, where do the kind of tiers break down on, like, quality of talent? Because I know that there's, like, a few blue chips, maybe, like, two, three, four blue chips. And then maybe, I don't know, into the early teens when it comes to first-round talent. But then it seems like there's a large pool of maybe, like, second-round kind of talent per se. Am I reading that right? What is the tier kind of line up?
Yeah, I've got darn near 200 players scouted myself. And so probably got another 15 in me I'm going to try and get done. And the way this draft has fallen for me is I have 15 first-round grades is what I have. And you're right. But there's certain positions that our teams are going to feel really, really good about when it comes to the running back group, when it comes to the defensive tackle group, and then the edge group and the corner group. I think there's quality throughout that. And then there's actually at the top, there's quality at safety. So it might not have the potential for the star players. There's probably, you know, like you said, two or three guys that you would consider that. And then it kind of falls into, this is a really, really different draft because of these offensive tackles. We haven't had the tackles that we've had in past drafts. And some of these kind of an exercise you always try and figure out is, okay, where would some of these players be in previous drafts? And, you know, that's the exercise that we're kind of working through right now. And you find yourself, you know, say, well, okay, well, you know, there's two or three guys in the last two drafts I'd rather have an offensive tackle than this guy, but this guy's the first overall tackle. So, yeah, it's, you know, the drafts always hated this when scouts would say, oh, it's not a deep draft, you know. Your job's to find players, mm-hmm. you know. Stop bitching about it and, you know, go to your jobs. And, you know, it's, you know, there is always going to be the Puka Nakuas or somebody like that we didn't think very highly of and all of a sudden turns into like a star player. And, you know, that's the job of a scout. But, you know, this time of year you kind of, you hear a lot of complaining about, well, certain positions are this and certain positions are that. I'm encouraged by, you know, the team that I cover here, you know, with the Cowboys, that they have some depth at some certain positions that they're absolutely going to need.
I've been wanting to ask you this. You know, we all know that it's lying season and there's a lot of subterfuge and, you know, things going on when you hear GMs talking and even combine interviews and Senior Bowl interviews. But to me, once you get to the top 30 interview, it carries a little more weight. Does it?
Yeah, that seems to be. I'll tell you another thing, John, that you can, if you're following who the Texans, if you're starting to hear information about who the Texans' assistant coaches are going to work out, that's another thing that kind of tips me off. The 30 visit things are very, very good. They have a thing going on here. They have Dallas Day, with all the players that are really the Dallas and Fort Worth, the Metroplex area where the Cowboys, I mean, they have Ashton Jeanty in for that thing. Mm-hmm. So, they don't even have to use a 30 visit because Ashton Jeanty's from this area that they could just bring him over. There's certain cities that have a great advantage of this. Los Angeles, Atlanta, Miami, Dallas, these cities that have a large number of players come from that area. And so, yeah, the 30 visits are really, really good. Any type of bringing guys in to work out will tell you a lot about who they might be looking at. Maybe not at the top of the board, but maybe on day three, when it gets down to we're looking for traits. We're looking, well, wait a minute, we brought this guy in. And there might be some of these kids that you work out that didn't go to the combine. So if you like them, you're like, okay, I'm going to take an opportunity to work them out. I'm going to get a physical on them, and then I'm going to be able to have a tag on the board where I know how they stack up with everybody else. So, yeah, but pay attention to where your assistant coaches are going. And the coordinators, that's cool, but assistant coaches going to work guys out is a sign that they really do like a kid.
We're talking to Brian Broaddus, Super Bowl winning draft scout here in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Josh Simmons is the tackle out of Ohio State. He's a player that we've seen mocked to the Texans a lot. And I mean, if they were to take a tackle, obviously the tape, I imagine, looks really, really good on him. How concerned are you about that torn patellar tendon, particularly for an offensive lineman, a position that we don't really see or we don't have much data on with that?
Yeah, and Josh Simmons is my favorite tackle in the draft. And if I was Dallas, I'd absolutely take him at 12. If you could. I mean, I've talked to one of the advantages I have of been working in the National Football League for as long as I did was to know trainers and doctors around the league. And everybody gave me the thumbs up as far as, might be limited during the OTA stuff. Maybe you want to look at that. But as far as the training camp and all that, should be good to go. But this guy is... I mean, this is a big-time player. You watch him play, he's 6'5", he's 317, he's got explosiveness with his footwork, he really gets off the ball well. It doesn't matter if he's going forwards or backwards, he's really smooth. There's just no wasted motion or movement with this guy. He's really effortless in the way he plays, the body position, the balance. It's just so natural to him. And he's learned to have to play both tackle spots. So you get him in the second level, he's a nightmare for defenders to have to deal with. He sees targets, he finishes. I mean, there's just so much to really, really like about his game. And, if the Texans were to draft somebody like this, I would, trust me, when we do the draft coverage the 3 days that we do it, here for 105.3 The Fan and DallasCowboys.com, I would applaud that pick with a lot of gusto.
Are running backs being looked at differently these days than they were even just maybe a year or two ago?
In what way, John?
In terms of people you can get one in the third round. Oh, you can get one in the fourth round.
Yeah, you're not, like you said, I think there's people that have really taken this positional value stuff to a toxic level. But I'm 61 years old. I come from an era where running backs were important, And so when people talk about running backs to me, I always look for the three down guys. I always look for the guys that can, that have the ability to carry the ball consistently, to be kind of a workhorse guy. I look for the guy that can catch. More importantly, in this day and age, I look for a guy that can pass protect. You have to be aware you know, you have to, if you're just a one down back or, you know, two down back, that really doesn't do me any good. But these guys, there's several guys, like, for example, you know, Ashton Jeanty, everybody knows about his situation, what he can do. The kid Henderson from Ohio State would be a guy, a really good example of a guy that's a three down back. You know, that there's guys like, for example, Blue at Texas would be a guy that, you know, is explosive. He catches, but he's going to need work on the pass protection stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that people, they just, you know, in this draft particularly, depending on what kind of back you want, like there's the 5'9 back, there's the 5'11 back, there's the 6 foot back, there's a, you know, they've got guys with various, varying degrees of what they can do. Some guys are really explosive. Some guys are extremely tough. Some guys are just really good catchers. You know, it's a draft where if you want to say, okay, we'll wait till, I don't think you want to go too far past like the fourth round in this draft. If you had to go into the fifth, yeah, you probably could grab one. But boy, the sweet spot for this thing to me is that second and third round.
Okay. Here in Houston, obviously, offensive line, adding talent to the offensive line room feels like it's very important. But also, you still have probably a starting Z wide receiver spot that is open and that you would love to have a young talent. If you were looking at, you know, the Texans taking at 25 and then obviously having, 58 in the second round, would you rather go, if a wide receiver like, let's say, Ibuka or Golden is available to you at 25, would you rather go wide receiver, one of those guys at 25, and then circle back around and add some offensive line talent, whether a guard or a tackle, in the second round? Or would you do that in the opposite direction where you pick up one of these starting caliber number one, or rather first round offensive linemen, and then see what you can add wide receiver wise afterwards?
Yeah, go for your offensive lineman first, Reggie, and then turn around and swing that thing in the second round is what you would do. I think what happens, the questions about the offensive line are more as you get down the board, mm-hmm. you know, and to me, you know, if the names, like I say, the Simmons, the Campbell, the Banks, the further you go down, Mimbao from Missouri, the further you go down that list, the harder it is to really to attack and pinpoint that guy and say, that's our guy. I would go get Simmons and then flip this thing in the second round. Besh from TCU, Williams from TCU. You know, there's some guys, the Goldens and Ibuka and those guys are likely going to be gone. But I feel like I could get the quality, not maybe the level of play at, you know, with the wide receiver, but I know I can't get it at offensive tackle mm-hmm. unless I pick it high. So flip that thing is what I would do.
Real quick, what about guard though? Because a lot of guys.
See, that's the thing too, guys. There's everybody's projecting tackles to guards. You know, there's guys like Booker from Alabama who's just a plug and play guard. You know, that's guy Jackson from Ohio State is another one of those guys that I don't know if either one of those guys would get to you at your second pick, but there's some guys, some tackles that people are projecting that could be that, you know, okay, well, we can move them inside to play guard. Gray Zabel from North Dakota State is that kind of guy. Very versatile guy, could probably play all three positions, might be in that area where you guys are picking in the second.
And here's more of another sort of a big picture question for you, just your experience at work here. Mm-hmm. I love when people say so-and-so's draft stock is falling. And we were mm-hmm. talking about this a little bit yesterday on the show. Draft stock according to who? I mean, you know, it's like Shedeur Sanders, you know, people are talking about him. We've seen a lot mm-hmm. of news in the last day that, oh, the Browns and the Giants may not draft a quarterback at all. I mean, that's just all projection. How much do internally, you know, does an organization, you know, fall in line with what people are projecting?
Well, see, that's the problem, John, is what you hear that. Trust me, I've been in that room where, you know, we hear what, you know, the projections are and what people are talking about. Media scouts tend to be off until we get to, like, the very end. And then what happens is media scouts then start to talk to buddies around the league, people they know, and they get an idea that, like, oh, wait a minute, so-and-so's really not this good. You know, we've mm-hmm. seen that from a couple of different times. You know, the Texas A&M kid, the Scouting, it was like a top guy, like a top, top 10 guy. And now you don't see him on any mock drafts. Mm-hmm. So there's been people, like, there's been a lot of projections from media scouts. And then all of a sudden the media scouts then start to talk to the teams, and the teams are like, bro, you got that guy way too high.
Yeah.
You know, but there's things in the media scouts that we don't know. Like, there's a lot of questions about Luther Burden from Missouri, the wide receiver. A lot of people have him as a first round guy, but then you start to talk to teams, it's like, well, you need to check the character there. Mm-hmm. See, we don't have the advantage of character check nor medical. Yeah. We're just looking at whatever tape and stuff we can get. So we're putting him in that spot. So when you see a guy's stock is dropping, it's, well, the media scouts put him way up high here, and then the teams are coming in and saying, well, wait a minute now. You didn't know that the guy had this right. injury, and you didn't know he had this character problem. That's the code word for we got the guy wrong to start with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so defensive tackle is another one of those positions that, you know, it feels like the Texans could add at, but I don't know that would be take precedence in the first round. Not to say that it couldn't. Can you give me a day two defensive tackle that you have your eye on that you kind of like?
Reggie, correct me. You guys have odd front or even front? When odd, I mean you play right. three-man line or four-man line?
Four-man, yeah.
Four-man line. Okay, you need a one technique, which is a nose tackle, or do you need a three technique, which plays like an upfield
on
the
edge? You'd want a one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you want a one. Okay, so you're in luck, because this is where this
I feel
is
like
where,
I'm buying a boat right now. Yeah. All right, very good.
No, absolutely. I mean, like I said, you just got to kind of lead me down the path. But, you know, a guy like Talik Williams from Ohio State, Harmon from Oregon. Yeah, Walker from Kentucky. You know, these are the guys, Collins from Texas, West from Indiana. They're guys, there are some 320-pound dudes that are these one-technique guys. And this is actually a pretty deep group when you start to talk about the ones and the threes. So if you're looking for a guy that, you know, if you're looking for that one, that kind of that guy that plays head up on the center, plays in the gap between the center and the guard, you've got names that you could absolutely choose from. But you're kind of in a spot where in that second round, there's some people ahead of you that need the same type of guy. So you might be on the tail end of that one technique group there in the second round.
All right. Brian Broaddus, Super Bowl winning scout. Appreciate you jumping on with us. Is Jerry Jones actually going to do this thing where he makes it terrible with Micah Parsons, or is this actually just going to?
Yeah, I honestly, I don't think he knew how to pronounce David Mulligetta's name.
Oh, that's what it was. He just didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, would you like to just butcher that and like,
we don't talk to the agent.
And then all of a sudden you're like. I'll say this, though. I don't think you want to mess with David Mulligetta
myself.
I really don't think you want to mess with him, because the next thing you know, that guy will be toasting with a bottle of champagne, say, hey, UMFers now know my name, so here we are, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't mess with David Mulligetta. He's damn good at what he does. But I don't think Jerry wanted to attempt to say that name. That's the thing I think happened.
He created more problems for himself. That's sure how it did. Seems to go, doesn't it? All right. Brian Broaddus, yep. Appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time. Thank you so much, my man.
Take care, boys.
All right, man. There he is, Brian Broaddus, Super Bowl winning scout. He's run a draft room on one of these instances, mm-hmm. So I always appreciate him lending us some of his expertise. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we turn it over to Figgy from Mixtape. What you got?
Yeah, conspiracies and more conspiracies.
Love it.
I want to know some of the craziest conspiracies that you're down with, and I got a couple of them, and I kind of want to get y'all thoughts on them.
All right. Let's a little bit of conspiracy talk next.